Throughout the Sundays of Advent, I'm going to be following the texts of the what's called the Common Lectionary. It's a three-year cycle, if you stay on it, that takes you not through the entire Bible, but over a whole lot of the territory. I don't normally preach the lectionary, but for the season of Advent, I just thought it'd be a good place to go. And the gospel lessons for the lectionary this year are all in Matthew. And so today we're in Matthew 24, where Jesus promises, foretells his return in great power and glory. So if you open your Bible with me to Matthew 24, I'm going to read verses 36 to 44. Hear now the word of God. And these are the words of Jesus. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question, and before I even ask it, I just want to underline this is rhetorical. I'm not expecting an answer. We don't have that much time. What does normal look like for you? I want you just to imagine for a moment, what is a normal day? We tend to like routine. We tend to be creatures of habit. And I want to tell you about a day many years ago. When I woke up in the morning, I just assumed it was going to be a normal day. It was in November of 1982, so a long time ago, and I was a seminary student at that time, and I woke up fully anticipating a normal day, right? And little did I know, well, a normal day would have been get up, have a cup of coffee, take a shower, get dressed, go off to class or to the library. I woke up that morning and thinking I was going to go about my normal day, I didn't feel really well. And, to make a long story short, in my stomach, unknown to me, a blood vessel had formed an aneurysm that was about to rupture. By the end of that day, I was in the hospital. I had lost close to 2 quarts of blood and ended up there in the hospital, Marin General Hospital in California, for 9 days. It was a weight loss program that I do not recommend to anyone. On the day that I went into the hospital, I weighed 210 pounds. Yes, there was a time. That was a long time ago. On the day that I went into the hospital, I weighed 210 pounds. On the day that I walked out, I weighed 160 and literally had to hold my Levi's up to keep them from falling off of me. I learned that it's not always safe to assume normal. It's not always safe to assume routine. Jesus is clear that the world will not always go on in the normal way. He said he will one day return in great power and glory. He's going to come as king and judge, and he's going to bring this world and all of creation to its ultimate fulfillment in God. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will know our Savior face to face. I mentioned earlier that during the season of Advent, we look two directions. We look back to the first coming of our Savior, and we are reminded how long Israel had to wait for her Messiah. And we look forward in anticipation of our Savior's return. And Jesus tells us here in Matthew 24, and there's a whole section in Matthew where Jesus speaks of his return. He tells us here in Matthew 24 that in some ways, at least, the last days will be very normal. He said it's going to be as the days of Noah. People will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, just the normal routines of life. People will be having parties and preparing meals. People will be marrying, and there will be courtship and weddings right up to the cataclysm of his return. And this is kind of surprising, because if you look back in the earlier part of chapter 24, Jesus describes really, really hard times. He predicts times of great suffering and violence and upheaval. And then he goes on to say it's going to be like the days of Noah, everybody cruising along as if nothing's wrong. And I think what Jesus is acknowledging here is that the power, our human powers of denial and clinging to the normal, are very powerful. In fact, that day that I was telling you about, that I went into the hospital and I was going to be there for 9 days. At the end of that day, the doctor came in to check on me, and he said to me, "Phil, give me a phone number, somebody in your family. I need to call somebody in your family to tell them what's going on with you." And I said, "Oh, that won't be necessary. I'll be out of here in the morning." And he looked at me. He said, "You're very ill. We almost lost you today. You're going to be here a long time. Now give me a phone number to call your family." And I think Jesus is describing something like that, because even in times of, he says, as we get toward the end, there will be great upheaval, there will be violence, there will be great persecution of believers, there will be suffering, and yet, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Eating, drinking, hey, let's have a party. Superficially, all will seem to be well. To the unobservant, it's party time, but Jesus tells us to look beneath the surface to the deep structures of life. He tells us to cultivate a vision that comes from God, that we see through the ordinary, we see past the veil, that behind the scenes God is at work. The problem with assuming normal life and that every day just goes on like yesterday, the problem with that is we may miss what's really happening. Now, once again, Jesus said it's going to be like the days of Noah. Well, let's think about the days of Noah. I think you can really simplify this. In the days of Noah, there were two kinds of people. There were ark builders and there were non-ark builders. The ark builders were ready, Noah and his family. Everybody else was not prepared. They were cruising along assuming that tomorrow would be just like today. Noah, on the other hand, Noah believed God and he believed God's promise. He believed God's word. God had told him, a flood is coming, get ready. God gave, and if you read those chapters in the early part of the book of Genesis, God gave very specific instructions for the construction of this ark. So, Noah is busy building a big boat and collecting lots of animals. The non-boat builders surely thought Noah was odd. Strange, not normal. Why on earth is he wasting his time building this great big boat on dry land? He's just not normal. And brothers and sisters, there is tremendous pressure on Christians today. There's pressure on us to be what society defines as normal. We face pressure every day to conform our values and behavior to the trends of culture. The world says, fit in. Don't stand out. Go with the flow. Don't be weird. Don't be odd. Noah was odd because he trusted God. One of my favorite quotes. I can't remember her name. Great author. She said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you odd." It'll come to me before the end of the sermon, and then we'll have to backtrack. Noah knew that normal can be deadly dangerous if it means ignoring what God has said, what God has promised. And the deadly sin that Jesus is pointing to is not some especially vile or evil behavior. It is simple, secular indifference to God. The sin of Noah's generation was not wedding parties. It was nonchalance about God. Verse 39, Jesus says, "And they were unaware," speaking of those who were unprepared for the flood. He says, "And they were unaware until the flood came," and by the way, the Greek word translated as flood is kataklysmos. You know that word, cataclysm. "They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." The Greek is absolute. They were unaware. They did not know. They knew nothing. Now, it is right, it is correct to not know exactly when Christ will return, the day and the hour. In fact, Jesus said in this text, nobody knows the day and the hour. He said, even I don't know the day and the hour. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. We don't know when, but it can be literally damnable to not know that Christ will come again and he will judge the earth, he will judge the world in righteousness. And the text goes on to say that when the last day comes, the Lord is going to make choices. Two men will be working in a field. One will be taken into the kingdom. One will be left. Two women will be grinding at a mill. One will be taken. The other left. There's going to be a great division. Christ is going to make a great division of humanity. He goes on in the 25th chapter of Matthew to say that he's going to separate people as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And his chosen ones, those that belong to him, he's going to gather into his kingdom for eternity. And those that do not belong to him, he's going to send away into eternal punishment. We easily forget this, don't we? We so easily forget when we get into what we call normal and the routines of life that this world is headed toward a day of judgment when Jesus Christ will come in glory and he will make a great separation. Now, our culture thinks this is nonsense. Our culture thinks that this belief is just about as logical as, well, you know, building a big boat on dry land. The world thinks that how we live our lives is not all that important to God. And the world thinks that, well, if God exists at all, he's really a kindly old sort who will forgive no matter what. Maybe you think that way about God today. If you do, I'm afraid you've been listening to a self-absorbed culture and not to Jesus Christ. Jesus is very blunt here. There's a day of judgment coming. The Apostle Paul was just as blunt. In Galatians 6:7, he said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." And Jesus taught very clearly that there will be men and women who he sends away from his presence and into eternal punishment when he returns. If you really pay attention to the teaching of Jesus, it can scare you half to death. And if his teaching doesn't scare you, you're not paying attention. Now, ask yourself, why? Why would Jesus scare us with this teaching of judgment? Is it because he's unloving? No, it's because he loves us so much. Jesus wants to save people from judgment. Love warns of danger. And remember that the one who's coming is not a stranger. The one who is coming at the end of time is the same Savior whose birth at Bethlehem we're about to celebrate in just a few weeks. A loving God sent his Son into the world to deliver, to save people from judgment. And it's vital to remember that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to take up residence with a bunch of pure and especially righteous people. No. He was born into a world of corrupt government, religious hypocrisy, self-righteousness. He walked the streets rubbing elbows with outcasts and prostitutes and cheating tax collectors. He moved among people who were bigoted and prejudiced. He wept with those who had lost a loved one, and everywhere he went, to everyone, he offered love and mercy and God's welcome and forgiveness and a new beginning. And so, if you and I should be blessed, if you and I should be blessed to be alive when the Lord returns, because He's coming, count on it. And if you and I should be blessed to be alive when our Lord returns, do you think for a moment that He's going to be less merciful than He was when He came the first time? That somehow in the intervening centuries He got a personality transplant and has become an implacable, judgmental judge. That He's going to tally up your score, every hatred, every selfish act, every dark purpose that we carry around in our sinful hearts. No. We're going to meet the same Savior we've always known. He's going to come in great power and glory, make no mistake. And there will be judgment, make no mistake. But we're going to meet the Savior we have always known. We're going to know Him face to face. We're going to meet the one who died for our sins and rose again to give us life. The one who's been our friend and counselor. The one who's walked with us every step of the way through life. The one who will never leave us. But make no mistake, there will be a judgment. The theme throughout all of the teaching of Jesus, the great theme about His second coming. First of all, He will come in great power and glory. But secondly, His teaching is directed at us. His teaching is directed at His people. And He says over and over again, be ready, be alert, be awake. Therefore, be ready and prepared, because you do not know at what hour your Lord will return. He said there's something for us to do. There's something for us to do to be ready when He comes. So how do we prepare ourselves? Well, I've got good news for you. We can't. And that's really good news. Only He can do it. Only He can prepare you. Only He can place a heart in you. A new heart. A forgiven heart. A heart that's tender toward God. The only thing for us to do is receive Him. And He will transform our sinful hearts to be ready for the day when He comes. Trust Him. And in trusting Him, by the way, there's an emotion that is completely absent from the New Testament. And it's kind of surprising. Read through the entire New Testament, and you won't find the slightest hint of nostalgia for the good old days when Jesus was with us. Why? They're waiting for His return. And they're praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. They're yearning for His, they're not fearing His return. They're yearning for His return. Trust Him. We don't fear His return, we yearn for it. And we know in trusting Him, as Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, prepare us for your coming. Work in our hearts to make us new. Renew our faith. Renew our trust. And Lord, even when we look weird, when we look strange to this world, teach us to live by the promise that you have come and you will come again. And we pray it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.